Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running to the Inca ruins in Machu Picchu.
It's just captivating, Mark. It's one of the seven wonders of the world for good reason, because you're constantly in awe of how beautiful this place is and understand why people make a pilgrimage there.
Crossing the country to fight rare diseases.
2 years ago, me and a group of friends and my wife sat down and we said, you know what? I think I could run across Canada in record time. I think I could break the Trans-Canadian speed record. And what better reason to do it than to raise awareness and raise loads of money for the Rare Disease Foundation, something that touches close to a family.
And the unique appeal of the Army Run.
It feels great to do it. And there are so many people, and people are all smiling, and it starts with a loud bang from the gun at the start,
yeah.
And people cheering, and it's great.
On this edition of iRun Radio, a long-distance race that takes you right into the Inca ruins in Peru. We'll talk to a runner whose plan to run across Canada in record time was cut short, but his journey, his fight, continues. And one of many runners who's getting ready for the Army Run in Ottawa in September. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there.
How's your week going?
Oh, loving it, loving it.
Yeah, it's a great time to be running. I feel like this time of year, it's a little bit cooler than it was during the hot days of summer. It's a little cooler in the morning because the sun's not coming up as early. And as well, you just have a little more time available to you because you're not rushing the kids off to school, making lunches. I mean, there's still lots to do, but there isn't just the same pressure and intensity that there is at other times of the year. So it's a good time of year.
Well, that's hilarious because I am making the lunches and I am rushing the kids off to camp. So you seem to have life figured out better than I do, but I will agree with you that I'm enjoying the running. How about that?
And look, it's about to get busy again. And I don't know about you, but I feel like this has been a really good summer. It hasn't felt like it's flown by. Of course, it goes by quicker than you want it to, because summer's my favorite season of the year. And I love it during the summer. I love being around the kids more. I love the relaxed atmosphere. I love the hot weather. So I don't want it to be over, but I feel like I've had a really good summer. And
there you go.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's just disappeared in an instant, like some people would say, but I'm good with it.
Well, I think it's because ever since you gave that TED talk, every time I talk to you now, you're like, I wouldn't say you're a changed man, because you've always been relatively positive and, you know, appreciative. But since you did that talk about the lottery and how lucky we are and everything, I feel like you've really taken that and run with it, if you excuse that pun.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, your mindset and outlook is just... it's so positive. It's almost, I wouldn't say annoying, but like...
Yeah. but verging on annoying, right? Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. But it's, you know, look, I can't ignore how lucky I am, right?
And there you go.
And, you know, once you acknowledge that, you see the world in a different way. And I have nothing, absolutely nothing to complain about, you know? So...
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm even going to share this fact with you. I talked about it on my radio show in Ottawa this week. I had a colonoscopy this week. And colonoscopies are not fun, but, you know, after you turn 50, they are part of your life, maybe even before that. I had one or two already before this. And look, it's, you know, I don't have to describe this to you. It's not just the procedure itself, but what you have to do to prepare for it, which is to kind of flush out your system, right? So you got to drink this stuff that empties your system, that's not fun.
Right.
But, you know, it could be worse, right? Because I got a clean bill of health from the colonoscopy. So I'd rather have a colonoscopy than have colon cancer. Right? I'd rather have a colonoscopy than live at a time when there were no tests to detect these kinds of things, too.
Absolutely.
Right? So,
amen. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the silver linings. It's my silver linings playbook.
Yeah.
Now, look, I bet I've heard lots of great things about the most recent issue of iRun with Tom Longboat on the cover. People love that story. They really enjoyed learning more about Tom Longboat. I think a lot of Canadians and a lot of runners in particular kind of knew the basics of the story about Tom Longboat, but we've shed a lot more light on it. I'm sure you're getting a lot of good reaction to that.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be, to be a part of. And I feel like we have a mission where what we're trying to do with it, with this thing that you founded so long ago.
10 years ago, in fact.
10 years ago.
2008.
If you want to get, okay, and there's a place for like a training program to get to your 10K, okay. But I feel like, you could probably find that if it's tiniest bit curious, that exists, you know?
Yeah.
But I think
that's not where we add value, right?
Yeah, but being a Canadian running publication and community, that it behooves us to do these things, you know, and to add to the conversation and to move things forward. And when we do that, I think, A, we're at our best, and B, that we do give something back to the community at large, and that's very important to me. And that it's being received with open arms like this makes me feel, you know, that we do have an important place and fill a role. So, you know, thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, and I think the other thing it underscores is Canada's rich running history, right? We think of running, to a large extent, we think of it a lot in the context of recent memory, the fact that there's been kind of a boom in running in the last 30, 40 years of people participating in half marathons and marathons. Or if you're looking at Canada's elite runners, you might think of the current crop or the recent crop of runners who have competed at the Olympics. Everybody from Reid Coolset to Eric Gillis to Krista Duchesne and Lanny Marchant. But you go back and you see that there were Canadians who were Boston Marathon champions. You look at people like Tom Longboat, Johnny Miles, and others, you know. So there is a rich running history in this country, and I'm glad we were able to underscore that as well.
You know, and that's actually not a bad segue into the Terry Fox runs begin the middle of September.
Yeah.
So obviously when we talk about the Canadian history with running, Terry Fox, and Terry Fox is coming up again next month. So I'm sure all our listeners are going to be pretty excited about that and be ready to participate.
Absolutely. And the Army run is coming up as well. We're going to talk to one runner who is training for one of the special combo events. You know, this is the rage now. We've talked about it before, these runs where races where you do more than one race at the same event. So we'll talk to one runner about that. The other thing that's coming up is the registration for Ottawa Race Weekend is going to open up in a matter of days, right?
Yeah, and we're very excited about that. Obviously, we're huge partners with the event, and it's a tremendous event, and we love it. And it's the 45th anniversary, so what we're going to do, registration begins September 1st. So September 1st is going to be an Ottawa Marathon takeover of our social media platforms. And what we want to hear is just from our listeners and readers, their stories of the race. You know, it doesn't have to be, but it certainly could be, hey, I met my partner on kilometer 21. Like, okay,
yeah.
Wonderful. But even if, you know, tell me about it. Why do you do it? What do you like about it? What happened? A good run, a bad run? Who'd you see? What, you know, describe the atmosphere. And we're going to be collecting these, and we're going to be posting them all month. But we're really looking to go big on September 1st when registration begins, and we want to put everything behind us. Their 45th birthday, and we're very excited to be participating with them.
Ben, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we're going to talk to a friend of mine who just ran a long-distance race that finishes among the Inca ruins in Peru. We'll be right back. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Welcome back to iRun Radio. We're on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. You can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. Tim Powers just completed the spectacular and very hilly 30K race at the Inca Trail Marathon in Peru. Tim, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Mark, good to talk to you.
So what made you decide to enter the Inca Trail Marathon and 30K that goes along the route to Machu Picchu in Peru?
Well, you'll know I'm from Newfoundland and Labrador. One of my very good friends who's done five continents worth of running, and your listeners will all know about the Seven Continents Club,
yeah,
wanted this to be the sixth one. And he said, why don't you join me? And without doing a hell of a lot of research, I said, oh, sure, why not? I've never been to Peru, and the Andes are wonderful. So this marathon and the classic run are billed as the toughest runs in the world, and you know, being unafraid to take on a challenge, we said, okay, it can't be that tough.
Okay, wow, he really sold you on this. So just by way of background, you're a runner, and you've done lots of running events. You've done marathons before. You're also a rugby player, So you're not a stranger to running. You're probably not as passionate about it as I am, but this is a whole other level of marathon running, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I've done the Ottawa Marathon, was in the New York Marathon, unfortunately had to drop out with hypothermia. Have done lots of half marathons, but my sport is rugby, and I'm built more for rugby than I am for running, but I've always enjoyed running and admired what you and others have done and what you've accomplished. But I'm always up for an adventure or a challenge, and I have to say to you, this was, including playing some elite rugby as I once did, the toughest endurance test I ever did. It was truly a limit-pushing exercise in one of the most beautiful places in the world. It was truly amazing and tough.
Yeah. And you started out, and your friend started out with the intention of doing the marathon, but then he was ill and you had to switch to the 30K. Is that right?
Yeah, he ended up, as people often do, with a little bit of high altitude sickness, and then that turned, unfortunately for him, into a virus. So he got very ill. He had been in bed for 2 days before we went out in the bush, because that's where you start in the bush. You camp overnight to do the run. On the morning of the run, we had the option still to switch to the 30K Classic, as they call it, and the full marathon. So we didn't want to separate, as all your runners who are listening know. If you commit with a friend, you try and stick with your friend. So perhaps we were lucky in some ways that he was a little ill because we moved to the 30K, but it was no normal 30K. It was, as some of the ultra runners described there, the equivalent of doing 50. I have no way of knowing the veracity of that. 30, 50, whatever you have, it was tough.
And can you describe the running, the environment, where you were running, what it was like,
sure,
how much climbing you were doing, that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, for sure. So, as I said, the day before, they bring you into the camp because you camp a little bit in on the Inca Trail. So we had the day before the run, we hiked for 6.5 miles to a camp at the base of the entry point to the Inca Trail. So we were at about 8,000 feet. We were treated well, slept in tents. We were woken up, if you can believe this, at 2 a.m. To start at 4 a.m. So it's pitch black. It was raining at the time. We got fed and began our journey to the start line, which was another mile or so hike at about 3:45. The reason you start so early is because the Inca Trail, the race we were doing, ends in Machu Picchu International Park, and the national park has certain key closing times, so the reason for starting early is obviously to try and get in before the park closes, though there are alternative routes if you don't. Anyway, we get to the starting line about 3:45, get settled away, and off we go at 4 a.m. The elevation there is probably about 8,800 feet. The first portion of the race, which lasted 4 hours, I guess, went up to something called Dead Woman's Pass, which is a very famous pass known by many of the people who travel in and to Peru. Its height mark, 13,700 feet. So you can imagine the joy of that particular climb. to begin with, and you're starting, and I recall, as I say, pitch black moments into the race. There's a herd of alpacas that are coming at us who are moving from one village to another, because this is still a used route by the Peruvian people coming from mountain community to mountain community. So it had snowed that evening, which also made it difficult. So at the top of the Andes, you were navigating snow and slush and some ice on some rocks. Went down to 12,000 feet, went back up again to another 13,000 feet, so this is about three quarters into the race, and then finished just past the Sun Gate at Machu Picchu, which was down again at about 8,500 feet. So we had a 10,000-foot change of elevation during the race. Sun, rain, snow, alpacas, donkeys, rabbits, Peruvian porters, tour groups, you name it, were all part of the ambiance of the race.
Wow. And how many people were participating in this?
In total, there were 24. So 12 doing the marathon and 12 doing the 30K Classic. Most of the participants, actually 95% of the participants, were extremely experienced runners. So had done, a minimum of 5 to 10 marathons. Probably 60% of the group were ultra marathoners, and some of them had done, the Western States and the Badlands or Badwater Marathon. And one woman there had done 400 runs. As I said, my buddy had a lot more experience than I. There was another chap there who had done a lot of distance running in Britain, but it was his first 30K, but he was an experienced runner, though not having done anything officially. So all 24 of these people, 23 of the 24, me being the most inexperienced, were all hardcore runners, and were all up for the challenge.
And when you get to the finish line, how close are you to Machu Picchu, this incredible historic site, this iconic place in Peru?
You're right in the Machu Picchu ruins.
Wow.
You finish in there at the top of the ruins. But let me tell you, I love this. Peruvian people, as I said, lovely people, great people, but their sense of how close something is or how far it is skewed. And I think a classic running technique, they told us as we were in the final leg, oh, you're only 2 miles away. Well, 2 miles away turned out to be 3.5 as you come into the old Machu Picchu ruins. You have to climb this massive staircase literally by your hands, because it's only scalable that way, because you're, of course, near the end of your energy limits and pretty fried. And then you have to run down these virtually a mile and a half of stairs that are structured in all manner and fashion. Tell you something, the stairs, if I never see another set of stairs in my life, I'll be delighted. And stone is the most unpleasant thing to run on, but what a testament to the architecture and skills of the Inca people who built this trail, highway as it was for them, that has survived hundreds upon hundreds of years in the Spanish conquest. So it was thrilling to run on it, not so thrilling on what it did to the feet.
So what was the experience like for you, Tim? Did you enjoy it? How did it go for you? Would you recommend it to others?
If anybody wants a real hardcore adventure and wants to test their limits beyond what is traditional trail running, because most of the runners there who had done trail runs said, this is, in fact, one of the hardest runs to do in the world. By all means, do it. If you love scenery, if you love beauty, if you love a change from what you're doing, you want to shake it up, do it. I mean, I was on that course for 11 hours, and I would tell you this. You rarely looked at your watch other than to get a sense of your pace, which was really non-existent because of high altitude and having to walk in different parts. But it's just captivating, Mark. It's one of the seven wonders of the world for good reason, because you're constantly in awe of how beautiful this place is and understand why people make a pilgrimage there. So by all means, if you think you're up for a life-altering challenge, go for it, because it was for me. It's just been a extremely positive experience, and I thank my friend, even though next time he suggests we go on a race, I'm going to read a little bit more about it,
right,
Mark, to know what I'm truly getting into.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, congratulations, Tim. It's quite an accomplishment. It's a very, very tough event, well beyond doing a marathon, I would think, and you did it, and you've got a great experience to share with others. Thank you for sharing it with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I just say one other thing. We had a real world-class runner with us. Some of your listeners may know him, a fellow by the name of Philippe Richer out of France. He won the marathon in the end with 8:30, I believe, was his time. Check this guy out. He's won the North Korean marathon. He's won a number of different marathons. Watching him run, because he, of course, did pass me at one point, was an awesome experience. We're trying to get him to come run here in Canada and bring his his skills to bear.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tim.
Good to talk to you, Mark.
That's Tim Powers, who just did the Inca Trail Marathon 30K in South America. Coming up next on iRun Radio, one ultramarathoner's cross-country run is cut short, but his fight for the people suffering from rare diseases, including his son, continues. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. Presented by BMO, in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race. The 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Dave Proctor is an incredible ultramarathoner who has achieved many extraordinary goals. He's faced extraordinary challenges and overcome them. He's set many records, and his goal was to run across Canada in record time, 66 days, but he had to stop because of an injury. Even so, his quest to raise money and awareness about rare diseases continues. Dave, thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Mark.
Let's start with the story of your son, Sam, because this is where it all begins, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. So my son, Sam, he's 9 years old, and he's got a rare disease called RECA, or relapsing encephalopathy with cerebellar ataxia. And, our journey with rare disease, started when he was 2 years old, and he had his what we now know is his second relapse, and that made his whole body go. He lost function of his entire body. He had flaccid paralysis, and ended up in the hospital. And that took that process from that point to, it took us 6 years to end up getting that diagnosis. It took us 6 years to get any answers. And going through that 6 year process, I came to realize that that's not all that different. That's not all that unique in this country in Canada. It takes the average rare disease diagnosis 5 years. And so, just 2 years ago, me and a group of friends and my wife sat down and we said, you know what? I think I could run across Canada in record time. I think I could break the Trans-Canadian speed record. And what better reason to do it than to raise awareness and raise loads of money for the Rare Disease Foundation, something that touches close to a family.
And when you talk about rare diseases, there are many different illnesses that fall into this category, and we hear so much about so many very common diagnoses that obviously have lots of people raising money for them, lots of research being done about them, whereas your son is in a category, I think I read on your website, there are only a very small number of people in the world who have this illness, and so because of that, there isn't the same fundraising effort behind it. There isn't the same amount of research going on. There isn't the same knowledge about it. So it's a much different road for anybody who's suffering from a very unusual and uncommon disease.
Correct. Canada still remains to be the only developed country in the world that doesn't have a rare disease strategy moving forward, which I find very odd because as Canadians, we hold our healthcare in high accord. When you have a rare disease, a lot of medical professionals and researchers and just the general public says, well, it's rare. You know, what can we do? But why should I care? Well, there's over 8,000 known rare diseases out there, and rare affects 1 in 12 Canadians. And so to continually tell year after year, and our governments and our researchers and our doctors, to constantly tell that 1 in 12 Canadians to, hey, you guys go stand over there. We'll take care of you later. When other countries are doing an incredible job of supporting these families and moving forward research and developing these institutes that can help and take care of us. And all it takes is acknowledgement from the population. You know, that's kind of where rare is right now in Canada. Yeah. It's the elephant in the room that no real Canadian is talking about. And so I got thinking, you know, there have been people, of course, very namely, people who have run across Canada and raised loads of awareness for other great reasons. And I believe that this is a better reason than any other.
And you don't just set out to run across the country out of the blue. You're obviously a very experienced runner and ultra marathoner. So tell us a little bit about your running background and how you came to think, okay, I can set a record for getting across the country in the fastest time ever.
Yeah, it was a very calculated process. You know, that's kind of what I do. Over the years, I've run further and further and had more success in longer races. My wheelhouse is 24 hours plus. So I'm the Canadian 24 hour record holder, 257.093 kilometers in one day. I hold the Guinness World Record for the furthest distance run on a treadmill in 24 hours. It's 260 kilometers. And I hold the Canadian records for 48 hour and 72 hour, races as well, too. And so, you know, it just appears to me and because really I think that, you know, running distance is, you know, running ultra distance, like ultra distance is more mental than anything else. I mean, you know, it's just convincing yourself of a non-truth that you're fine. And that, you know, it's that, and that you could do this all day. It's about mental management. It's about, hydration. It's about fueling strategies. It's really all about management. And that's what I really love about ultra racing. So with my background, with my history, you know, we sat down and we thought, you know what, you know, 108 kilometers a day for 66 days in a row, that is very, very doable. But you just have to have a why, and the why is simple. It's my son, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talk about the mental challenge running on a treadmill for 24 hours. I mean, that is, I know a lot of people just can't take being on a treadmill for longer than 45 minutes. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's... And me now, absolutely. Like now, if I get on a treadmill, I cringe even at hearing it. So
yeah.
The treadmill was complete. You know, that was probably easily by far the mental, you know, mentally most challenging thing that I've ever done. It's, you know, after 12 hours, I was thinking, get me off this treadmill. It was almost like a cage, and you were stuck staring at the same thing in the same place, and there was no external motivation. It all had to come internally, and that was a struggle.
Now, you set out to cross the country in 66 days, running 108 kilometers a day, and you had to stop because you got injured. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, the day before I started, I was at an event, and I was dismounting a motorbike, and yeah, I know, long story, don't even ask. And I was swinging my leg back, and I felt this not a pop, but a stab in my low back and in my hip, and then I felt this pain shooting down the leg, and I thought, oh no, what did I do? Because tomorrow morning I need to start running at 5 o'clock in the morning, out from Victoria, and I got thinking, you know, I'm in trouble. I won't be able to do this. Well, the next day I started running, and the pain went away. My nerve, I herniated my disc at that point, but my body liked running. When I ended up finishing my run every day, you know, right around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, the pain was unreal, and I had a hard time sleeping and things. But by the time I started running the next day, you know, my pain went away. And so I thought, great, this is perfect because I'm running across Canada. This is an ideal situation until I got to the Alberta-Saskatchewan border and started really acting up while I was running. And then when I got to the Saskatchewan-Manitoba border, it became almost unbearable. When I would get the pains, they would be absolutely excruciating pains. And, you know, I know my medical team was saying, Dave, don't run through that. And I said, well, I physically can't. When it comes on, you have to stop. Like, there's, you're blinded. You almost pass out. It's unreal. We ended up in the Brandon Hospital, and I ended up getting an MRI. And, yeah, it did indicate that I had a severe herniation in S1 and a really significant narrowing of the central spinal column. And so my medical team told me, Dave, here are some red flags. Here are 4 red flags. Whatever you do, do not run through them. And these red flags would indicate that you would have lifelong paralysis. You'd have lifelong issues moving forward. And I'm a father of 3 young kids. I'm 37 years old. I can't have that. And about 3 or 4 days later, I was running from the very first step, and all those 4 red flags popped up. And I think I only made it 12 or 13 kilometers that day, but that was my last day running. Now, I would love to tell you that, you know, it's been weeks since and since stopping, and the pain's gone away. It hasn't. The pain's here. I really do need to be getting back to Calgary and getting medical attention, because, you know, I really need to get my head over this.
Yeah.
But that's where my injury's at this point.
Yeah, and that's got to be very disappointing for you to have to shut down this run. But at the same time, it underscores how difficult a challenge this was. And the silver lining in all of this is the fact that you reached out to your community of followers, and they rose up to support you, and you found a different way to kind of to finish this off and then some.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. So what we ended up doing the next morning after making the decision and having a few beers, and we woke up the next morning, and we ended up making a video, and we sent it out to all of our followers that were following us online, and which, you know, I'm still really trying to wrap my head around how many people are following this. It's really become quite an incredible, you know, incredible following. And we ended up sending a video of me, my wife, and my kids, and I said, you know, I can no longer medically complete this task, but I'm asking all of you to help me. And if you can all go onto our website, outrunrare.com, and click on Virtual Miles, and you can run for me. And our goal was for everybody to go for a 10-kilometer run or a 3-kilometer walk, and to put your miles in and run the highway for me, and we can finish a run to St. John's all together, all as a rare disease community. And I call them Outrunners, you know, for Outrun Rare. We also changed our logo, our brand, from 1 man, 66 days, 7,200 kilometers, to 1 country, 66 days, 7,200 kilometers. But the neatest thing, Mark, is that what ended up happening was it's just this complete groundswell. People felt that, hey, I can now do something to show support for the rare disease community, families like mine. And people came out in drones. And ever since, this is only, 3 weeks now, we've compiled not just the distance to get from Winnipeg to St. John's, but we've traveled around the entire world and entire globe. We've compiled over 50,000 kilometers. So we're on our second trip already. And, you know, that's incredible. You think about that messaging, to families living with rare disease all across Canada, when you felt so alone for so long, and now you have thousands of runners, walkers all over Canada from all corners of Canada, getting together, putting out miles, running in the rain, running in the heat, running up mountains, and donating those kilometers. Can you imagine what that feels like to people like me? When we felt alone for so long, we felt that we weren't really being supported. Check out the support from this community. The running community in Canada rocks, and I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
And maybe that's a better ending than the one you had planned in the first place. It's so inspiring, Dave, and what you've done is just so incredible. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And again, people can go to your website to find out more and can still donate some kilometers to your cause and support this even beyond that. You can support it financially as well. Dave, thanks so much for your time today.
No, thanks a lot, Mark. Take care.
That's ultramarathoner Dave Proctor. Coming up next, the unique appeal of the Army Run. For some, they are a brother, a sister, a mother, or a father. But for all of us, they are heroes. Show your support for the men and women of the Canadian Armed Forces. Join iRun at the 11th Annual Canada Army Run. presented by BMO in support of Soldier On and the Support Our Troops Fund. Join us as we run, walk, and roll through the streets of Ottawa-Gatineau with our military in Canada's most inspiring race, the 2018 Canada Army Run, September 23rd. This is no ordinary race. Register at armyrun.ca. Marie-Ève Lessard of Quebec is one of many runners who are getting ready for the Army Run next month in Ottawa. She'll be participating in one of the multi-race challenges at the event. Marie-Ève, welcome to iRun Radio. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
And tell me a little bit about what appeals to you about doing the Army Run, and in particular doing the Ortona Challenge, running the 5K and the 10K.
I started running. I was working on the Valcartier base. I was on an elliptical machine, and I was seeing people running on the treadmills. And I said, I don't know, is running for me? I don't know. And one day I saw a soldier with a prosthetic leg. He was coming back from Afghanistan, and he got on the treadmill and started running. And I said, okay, if he can do it, I can. So the next day I started running on the treadmill, and it was great. It was a great feeling. So later, maybe four months later, I started running outside and with some of my military friends, and I was going great. It was good. And I did it for almost 2 years, running alone, nothing official. And I was pregnant again, and I started running again in June 2012. And I was starting to translate, because I'm a translator for the Department of National Defense, and I was starting to translate some things about the Army Run, and I didn't know what it was, but it sounded interesting. And as I was working with military men and people and around all these things, and I said, maybe it could be my first run. So in 2014, I decided to run the half marathon. My first official run ever was a half marathon, and it was fun. So this year I ran again in 2015, 2016, and this year I decided to do the Ortona Challenge because I'm running the half marathon in Quebec City on October 14th, so I decided not the half marathon this year for the Army Run, just a little bit less.
All right. Well, good for you. That's a great story. And, you know, I love the way this all came to be, the fact that you were doing your job and you were translating something about the Army Run, and that's how you found out about it. It's almost like it was meant to be, like you were getting a signal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and let me go back to something you said earlier. You're the first person I've ever heard who said that running on a treadmill felt great, because most people hate running on a treadmill, but obviously you liked how it felt from an exercise point of view.
Yeah, but when I went running outside, I never came back on
right.
the treadmill.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, I can understand that. And once you start running outside, it's a much different experience, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not the same.
So tell me a little bit about what your Army Run experiences have been like so far, because this is a very unique event.
It is unique. It's there are so many people. Some are members of the Canadian Forces, others don't. Others are running for people they know that are deceased, or they went to war, or they're all kind of people. Some are running very fast, some are walking, some are rolling. It's like you don't have any pressure to perform at your best, to be the best, or you just do it because it feels great. It feels great to do it. And there are so many people, and people are all smiling, and it starts with a loud bang from the gun at the start,
yeah.
And people cheering, and it's great. It's hard to explain, because when you're there, it's like you feel it. You feel why people want to run the Army Run.
I think you've described it very well, in fact, and I've experienced it many times myself. It is a special race in that way, and there's a great atmosphere. And as you say, you're a civilian in the military. You're working in national defense, but you're around mm-hmm. members of the military all the time. So you know the sacrifices that they make, and I think this race really helps to create a bond between civilians and members of the Canadian Armed Forces, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's a lot of members of the Army have to run because of the job. But when you go to the Army Run, it's not a job. It's a great feeling. It's just natural. It's all, everybody comes together and have fun and share a moment to thank people for the sacrifice they do every day. I couldn't do it. I couldn't. So it's like my way to thank them, to tell them thank you, and I'm doing this for you, and it feels great.
Yeah, and I know that's the reason a lot of people participate in the Army Run, is they want to show their appreciation to the men and women in uniform. Now, tell me a little bit about what you get from running. What? Why have you kept it up, and why did you take to it so much after you started doing it?
Well, I have two kids, so running is like the only time I've got for myself.
It's right.
Like, it's me, myself, and I for like sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. So when I'm not running, it's like I'm missing my me time. So I started doing it because I wanted to lose my weight after my first pregnancy. And soon enough, it became something that I needed to do. And when I was pregnant with my second child, it was rough because I kind of stopped running for a while. So I wanted to continue, but with the nausea and everything, so I stopped for a while, and when I started back, it was so great. I was having my time alone again, and that's why I'm doing it. And when I'm not running, there's something missing. I need that. And as I'm working behind a computer all day long, just leaving the office at noon and go outside, run, just put everything behind me, and when I come back to my office, I'm fresh, my mind is clear, and I can work better and faster.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. And tell me a little bit about some of the events that you've done. You mentioned you're going to do the Quebec City Half Marathon this October. Have you done other half marathons as well, in addition to the Army Run?
Yes, I did the Lévis Half Marathon in May, and 2 days ago, I was running my... It was the worst run ever. I did a 20-kilometer trail run, and it's the Trans Valley, and it's really, really hard. I climbed 863 meters.
Wow.
It was climbing, a little bit going down, climb up. It was the worst thing ever, but it was fun. Trail running is completely different as running on hard surface. It's not the same. I was all summer. I was training near my house. We have it's the Mont Belair. It's a little mount, and I was running in the forest with a lot of little animals. It was fun. It was very different.
Yeah.
And now I have to go back training on hard surface, and it's going to be a little bit harder, I think, on my mind. But because I'm doing the alternate challenge before the half marathon in Quebec City, it's going to be funnier, less difficult.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a great way to build towards that. You'll do the 5K and the 10K at the Army Run, and then you'll do a half marathon about a month later. So it's the perfect way to build towards that. Well, Marie-Ève, it's great to talk to you and hear your enthusiasm for running, and you describe the Army Run atmosphere so well. I wish you the best as you continue to prepare for both these events coming up. Thank you for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you, Mark.
That's Marie-Ève Lessard of Quebec, who will be competing in next month's Army Run in Ottawa. And that's it for our show this week. In the weeks ahead, we're going to be talking to runners about many of the fall events, the Terry Fox Run, the New York City Marathon, the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and more. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.